Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Community Services meeting. I'm Councilwoman Diller, and we are joined here at the table with President Hartley Nagel, Council Members Kilpatrick and Carter and Tackett and Bell and Street and Smiley and Durham and Cartier, and my aide, and with luck, we will have a very informative but brief meeting on the changes in the Housing Advisory Board, and you have before you Ordinance 19-007.
Motion
and
to approve the minutes of
Second.
27.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Marcus, are you up for the...
Trying to make your prelude correct. Motion to adjourn.
You still have a brief presentation. Okay.
They came all the way in.
And everyone should have a copy of the presentation, which is one page.
Two sides.
Front and back, yes.
Marcus Henry, General Manager of Newcastle County Community Services. This has been a team effort to work on this. Sue Moore's taking a lead. I want to thank her. She's actually going to be giving the presentation today, but I want to thank Land Use and Rich Hall and his team, the Law Department, Colleen Norris, and Karen Sullivan, and also Andre Allman for their assistance. And as always, Carrie Casey. So with that, we'll begin the presentation with Sue Moore.
Hello everyone, Susan Moore, County Executive's Office. So this is going to be a real quick overview on what this Housing Advisory Board actually does and why it's being done. So you should have a copy of that, okay. And you should have also had a copy of the actual ordinance mm-hmm. at this point. Okay. So moving into the background, right? So why are we doing this? For some reasons, we want to include there's two boards right now that we have that relate to housing advisory and rental advisory, right? And they've got some overlapping areas in that some membership overlaps and areas of focus also overlap between the two boards. So if neither one is filled, there's a housing trust fund out there right now that has just over $1.6 million in it, and it sits untapped. We can't touch it. Because we don't have an active advisory board that can provide recommendations to the departments that would then be used to have this money flow through to low and very low income families and homes. So why are we doing it, right? A couple of reasons. We want to sunset the Rental Housing Advisory Committee and incorporate its interest into the Housing Advisory Board. So really what we're doing is we're merging the two together in order to create one board. And what happens with that? Update memberships to ensure the broad representation of 9 members of the public representing diverse interests, including but not limited to. So what happens is some of the roles have been but not limited to is really an important part in that, because it was incredibly strict before. So we still have the same members that have the same ideas as far as background when it has to do with housing development, real estate, homeless advocates, financial services, tenant advocates, and so on. So it also will clarify the new Housing Advisory Board will clarify trust fund priorities, and also the ordinance will address which address the gaps for low and very low income residents, right? So if you read the clauses there, what will the group do? Well, they will advise the county executive, county council, and relative county departments on prioritizing the allocations of the funds from Newcastle County Housing Trust Fund with an emphasis on very low and low income houses. So what happens next, right? We've come a long way again with all of these departments coming together for much longer than I've been a part of their group. So this has been a long haul for a lot of people. So what are our next steps, right? So introduction is planned for this evening. So let me talk for a second about introduction. Once we submitted it to the clerk of council, right, and it went out there, there were some changes, just minor changes. And what's going to happen, and I want to alert you to it now so that you're aware of it and you can take a look later. The only changes that have happened is we've changed the word sunset to the word eliminate. So if you look in what I believe is, when you get a chance, if you want to check it out, it should be in paragraph 7, whereas clause 7 and whereas clause 9. You'll see your copy says sunset. I'm going to submit one that's a substitute that will say eliminate. All right, there was no actual sunset provision in the original, so you can't sunset that something that really didn't have a sunset provision, so we will be eliminating that. And the only other place that you'll find the word change would be in the synopsis. Again, it's from sunset to eliminate. It means the same thing, but nonetheless, it's a change, so you're going to see it in the substitute, and now you know what that's going to mean when you see it.
I'd like to recognize the presence of Councilman Hollins and I believe Councilman Bell.
So the plan is the council will consider the ordinance on February 12th. We ask for your help to identify members that can sit on the board, right? Because the problem is we haven't had boards full that were able to give recommendations in order to release this money to people that need it very much, right? So we haven't had the people on the boards to make the recommendations. So now, as we combine the two, what we're asking for are your suggestions, right? If you think about somebody that could fit the criteria that you'll see listed in your ordinance, please, you know, send their names our way, because it would be very helpful to get a good qualified board together to make this work in the best interest of the communities. So there you go. I mean, if we can get, we have a couple that we'd like you to consent to, eventually they will come up. But in the meantime, so we're looking at February 19th and March 19th to try to get this board up and running 100%.
Can I add a little background? There are a number of boards that Community Services is responsible for staffing. And I believe that the first time Marcus was the head of the department, he said, why do we have all these boards? And that was a very good question, and at that point, Councilman Hollins and I were serving. You know, there was an election, there were changes. Alan Mattis came in as head of community services, and he said exactly the same thing. Why do you have all these boards? And so now that Marcus was back, I said, Marcus, maybe it's time to look at all of these boards. So this is not the only change that's being looked at, but this is the one that's before us today. I mean, the whole idea is to get a functional board related to housing, and of course it's a big deal because we now have the housing trust fund money. And so I think there's been a lot of effort to think through this. I mean, Councilman Hollins and I have been involved in the discussions, and he certainly has been a leader in terms of focusing on very low income and low income housing. So this is the first of several things that will occur in terms of changes, but I think that this is a change that is much needed. We never really got that rental housing board up and running anyway, and it's been years. So I think that this really provides a way to take a look at housing in a comprehensive way, particularly housing for folks who are in the low and very low income areas. So with that, are there any questions of Marcus or Mr. Smiley?
I don't have a question. I just, for the record, since it is on the recorded record, just in case somebody listens to this, according to the legislation and the process, although you're soliciting suggestions for people to serve on the board from us, all legislation for appointees originates from the executive branch and then comes to council. So I just want to put that on the record for somebody that may not have the legislation in front of them and is listening.
That's right. So this is county executive appointments, consent by county council. But, you know, I think the more, we all think that the more minds that get together to find qualified people, the better.
Mr. Hollins and then Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to give a little bit of background here, a little history. I'm sorry I got here late. I don't know how much has been covered, so I don't try to cover everything.
All of it, Councilman Hollins.
But when we decided to have affordable housing strategy, there were several initiatives, and we did the sanctuary dwelling units, we created the trust fund that we're talking about now, we did workforce housing, we did a number of different things to have a comprehensive approach to affordable housing in New Castle County. We eventually repealed workforce housing. The workforce housing program was not a good program, I'll admit that myself. We gave away a lot of density to developers, we changed some of the standards, and it was a volunteer program. When we replaced that with the moderate price dwelling units, we got a much better program at the repealing workforce housing. One of the primary things we did with the moderate price dwelling units is that we don't give away any density, and it is mandatory, so if you get a rezoning in New Castle County with over 10 units, you're going to have to be a part of this moderate price. You're going to have to include 20%. And the other thing we did with the workforce housing, you could actually go up to 120% of AMI, which meant that with workforce housing, a family of four could actually purchase a home for around $400,000, which is more than what the market was preparing at the time. So when we started the reason why we're sort of behind here is because of the housing burst that occurred in 2028, and there was no houses being built in New Castle County. So we didn't have any money. So that, you know, even though we had named people to be on this board, there was no money for the people to try to help us to distribute. So now I think Bayberry was the first real development to start putting money into this housing trust fund. And now we're up to like $1.6 million plus. So obviously it's time for us to start spending this money. And we charge $7 for every $1,000 for residential property that's being built. And that's where this money is coming from. The primary idea behind the trust fund is that we're going to serve low and very low income people. When we did moderate price dwelling units, there was a concern that we were not addressing real low income people in New Castle County. Because the ordinance is just what it said, it's moderate price dwelling units. That focuses on folk making 70 to 90%, up to 70 for half of those units that would be under this program, and up to half of those would be up to 90%. So instead of providing home opportunities for folk who are making 120% who don't need the government's assistance, now with the new program, we address folk that are making up to 90%, up to 70 and up to 90. So now what we're doing is saying, at that point with the moderate price of dwellings, we're still overlooking a significant population within New Castle County, folk who are making less than even 65%. So that's where the Housing Trust Fund comes in to focus on those populations, and we've had a lot of conversations about that. Councilwoman Diller mentioned that we've had a couple of meetings to have some discussion with the administration. It's where we want to be focused. I think the one thing we want to keep in mind here is that we actually want these dollars to prioritize low and very low income people, because that is the population that we have really not focused on in New Castle County. The only dollars that we've used for this population has been federal dollars with Section 8, et cetera. But now that we have a housing trust fund that's going to continue to grow as new homes are being built in New Castle County, it gives us an opportunity as a government to address people that are homeless, people that are seniors that Councilman Diller talks about all the time, where we always run out of money because there's a waiting list to get repairs done. So we can help those seniors when they meet this income criteria, as well as folks who are coming back into our communities, people that have a very difficult time finding houses, people that are reentering into our communities that have been previously incarcerated. Oftentimes these people are coming back to communities where their families are living in subsidized housing through the federal government, and they can't go back for HUD regulations. So there's a serious population of people here in New Castle County that we have not reached, and this trust fund allows us to reach that group and prioritize that group. I feel that we're doing a great job with the moderate price, because we are one of the very few jurisdictions in this country that have, not only is the program mandatory, but we have both. We have a mandatory inclusionary zoning that we call moderate price dwelling units, but we also have the housing trust fund. And a lot of the jurisdictions that you'll see across this country, it's either one or the other. So we're one of the very few that have both. We have a mandatory inclusionary zoning, plus we have the trust fund, which allows us to help even lower income people.
Thank you. Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. I wanted to speak to the folding of the Rental Housing Advisory Committee into our regular housing committee that we've had for years. Probably makes a lot of sense. We never really got the Rental Housing Advisory Committee off the ground in a real way. But I want to say to you, you know, I think we have a major problem in New Castle County with the condition in rental houses, particularly in neighborhoods. And dealing with the slumlord issue in my district, I've had, quite frankly, been shocked by the conditions that people live in. Shocked. And this has gone on for years. We passed a rental code back in 2004, which was sort of a lukewarm kind of regulatory product that was a beginning. We haven't updated it since then. And, you know, the result has been that we still have, and I don't really know the extent of it, but I would say in every council district, pretty much, we're going to find that we have people living in very tough conditions, in very poor quality rental units. So I would like to see us, as we do this initiative going forward, really start to address, you know, rental housing and the regulation of rental housing. I think that we have a mandate under our rental code ordinance of 5% of units being inspected randomly. I don't think we're even in that ballpark. So we've got a long way to go with the condition in certain sectors of our rental housing. And, you know, I want to try to work with anybody who wants to really seriously address this matter.
Mr. Cartier, I would agree with you. I think that one of the things that we've seen is the effectiveness of the Vacant Housing Task Force. And candidly, that is a much better model for addressing substantive policy issues because you get the players around the table. I think that some of this rental housing issue is New Castle County. Some of it will be related to state legislation that we've got to take a look at. And I think that is a better model to deal with this issue than a rental housing advisory committee. Advisory committees are set up to do exactly that. This particular advisory committee will work in terms of targeting the funding of the Housing Trust Fund, but to do the type of work that you're talking about, I think that the task force model has really proved its worth in gold. I mean, it has been a terrific model, and I think that's the type of model that we need to look at when we deal with the rental housing issue, is a much more focused effort that will not just involve people who are interested in it, but actually have the background and the tools, and the legal tools to take a look at this. So I think we could talk about that. Yes, Mr. Carter.
I had a little different perspective, although I agree with the rental issues there. I really like the idea of combining them because I think one of the ways to really address that issue long-term is home ownership. Mm-hmm. If you combine them two and can begin to strengthen that link between rental to ownership in different ways, I think it actually helps people that really need that help. And I think also what we know statistically is that if people have ownership, they will be able to take much better care of it. It works much better. So I had a little different perspective, although I do agree from an enforcement perspective, the rental hassle has to be. I don't know how big it is in my district. I haven't heard a lot of it because I think if it is existing, it's in the Midtown and Middletown in our towns.
Anyone else before we move on? Okay, moving on to other. I know Mr. Henry has thank you, Ms. Moore, and I know Marcus has an update on the federal shutdown effects on our housing programs.
Thank you, Marcus Henry, General Manager of New Castle County Community Services. Really, this is an update from Carrie and I in terms of, I know you probably got some questions or concerns with respect to the federal shutdown effect on potentially any county programs. We are fortunate right now that has not affected any program with respect to community development and housing. That includes the Housing Choice Voucher Program, the old Section 8 program, which we get annual allocation of over $17 million. And all our federal pass-through programs, about $4 million. That includes we have block grant funds, home investment funds, and emergency shelter grant funds. HUD has approved through February our reimbursement for these funds, so we're okay in terms of the Housing Choice Voucher Program. The concern is that if this shutdown continues forward into March, we might face some difficulties if we don't get that approval in March in terms of getting this reimbursement. For the home investment, community development block grant funds, we fund on a quarterly basis reimbursement for contract work, salaries, and other expenses. We should be okay until March 31st, but once again, if this thing's not resolved in some form or fashion by mid-March, we could have some concerns. I'm just bringing it to your attention. We're okay right now, but if you get calls from your constituents, you have concerns, to call us directly, and we'll continue to update you. But for right now, Newcastle County is okay. That is not the same for other jurisdictions or public housing authorities, but Newcastle County, we're okay for right now.
Any questions for Mr. Henry? All right. Thank you, Mr. Henry. Not good news, but we'd rather know it. All right. Any public comment? May have a motion?
Motion adjourned.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Executive at 4 o'clock. Thank you.